You are listening to the podcast of Richland Hills Baptist Church. We are located in Richland Hills, Texas. Our desire here is to believe, live, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you're listening to our podcast today, if you have any questions, you can find us on the web at richlandhillsbc.com. God bless you.
Open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, we'll be looking this morning at verses 13 through 18. And we're almost finished with the book of Malachi. We're walking through it together. We'll be likely done next week or the week following. In 1935 in Australia, this was hailed as a great discovery, if you will, or a great solution to a difficult problem. They introduced the cane toad to Australia. You see, they had an issue in Australia. They grow sugar cane. And they had a very difficult situation with the cane beetle, which came in the 1800s. And the cane beetle would eat the crops, especially the larva would get on the crops and eat it out, and it was terrible. And so it was discovered that there was this cane toad, and that this cane toad would actually be able to eat the larva and would eat the beetles, and it would be wonderful. And so in 1935, they introduced 102 cane toads. One died in transit, rest his soul. 102 brought over. And then in a not too long later, 2,400 were introduced. And then more were introduced a little bit at a time. And then they became a problem. They were poisonous. They were killing plant life. The animals that would eat them would be killed, many of them, because of the poison. They were threatening pets and humans, and they were reproducing rapidly. We say, well, did it at least work? I mean, did they eat the beetles? Nope. They couldn't, listen, the beetles, the larvae would get really high on the stalks, and the toads couldn't jump that high, so they couldn't eat them. Didn't even solve the problem. Today, there's over 200 million cane toads. A great problem. You know, it's interesting that many times in life you think there's a solution or it looks good, right? It looks good. It seems like it's the right thing, but it's the results that tell us the truth, right? You know, this morning we're going to learn about some people who seem like they probably on the surface to other people seem like, hey, they've got it together. They're good. They're religious people, but yet their fruit and their actions and their words are going to betray them. You see, your fruit, the fruit of our lives, the things that we do, the actions, right? They tell a story. And fruit doesn't lie, does it? Fruit doesn't lie. You look and you see, what is it that a person really believes? You can look the part. You can say the right words. You can maybe even do the right things. But does your heart, does your life, does your fruit honor God? Let's see in Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. When those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, the Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Father, may you lead us this morning, speak to us. May we understand what it means to be one of the faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Right away, we see the charge that God is leveling on the people. Remember, in the book of Malachi, the whole structure is God would have this charge against them, this complaint, this indictment. And the people would respond, and then God would respond again. And here, right away, God says something very specific. He says this, "Your words have been hard against me," says the Lord. Your words have been hard against me. Think about that word hard. It really kind of carries the meaning of hostile, combative. He's saying, listen, your words have been hostile against me, combative, if you will. Your words have been difficult and hard against me. And then they said, of course, remember all throughout, they sort of plead ignorance, and I'm going to call it, you know, false ignorance. How have we spoken against you? Oh, God, how have we done that, God? How have we spoken against you? What have we done? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? They said, listen, it is useless to serve God. It makes no difference. I mean, we do all these things, we do this, and nothing happens. I mean, we do all the religious rituals. We even walk around in mourning. What does that mean? It carries the meaning of penance. Repentance, really, this idea in the Bible that they would wear sackcloth and ashes, right, when they were mourning their sin, and they would even do that. They said, it doesn't matter. God's not here. I mean, God is doing, he's helping the wicked. God's doing other things, but he doesn't help us. So this whole faith thing, this whole following God, it doesn't work. That's their charge against God. But why is it that they would say that? And the truth is, there are people, even in this world today, that would say the same thing. Pastor, I tried that whole faith thing. Didn't work. I remember I saw this video not long ago. This guy, he had said, hey, I was in church my whole life, and I gave, and I'm still broke, and I prayed to God, and I still got sick, and it just wasn't worth it. Why does that happen? I think there's two reasons, perhaps more, but at least two. One is that when people, and these people, when they reduce faithfulness to outward actions, reducing faithfulness to outward effort. What do I mean by that? When you begin to believe that faithfulness is only displayed through outward actions, when you say, wow, that person's at church every Sunday, they must be really faithful. Could be. Maybe they're faithful in action. Or, you know, man, I gave money to God, but I'm really faithful. When we begin to think that faith is only in our actions or our works, we can get in trouble. Now, obviously, our faith is displayed through action. So here's the second thing that really goes with it. their deeds weren't all that faithful. Really, they were half-hearted. So here's the problem. Many people in this world, even today, you can do all sorts of things, but if your heart is not right with God, it doesn't matter what you did. You could give $10 million to the church. I mean, you could write a check today with all that money, but if you, in your heart, if you have anger and bitterness and hostility and lust and pride, guess what? That $10 million ain't going to get you to heaven any more than anything else will. You see, our heart is what matters. I mean, somebody could come to church every Sunday and not know Jesus. They could know all sorts of things but not know Jesus. And these people, they were doing all the things, but they were really half-hearted, weren't they? They gave the offerings that weren't really good enough. They were okay, but not the best. They were giving some of the tithe, but not all of the tithe. They were doing just enough to look righteous. And there are many people in the world that do just enough to look righteous. And that's what happens. You see, they do all the things. They go to church their whole life and they say, it didn't work. It didn't work. And the problem is that they have been fed a lie that said if you do all these things, everything's going to work out. You see, they didn't have genuine faith. Their faith was in outward things, in religion, but not in Jesus. Because when your faith is in Jesus, do you know what happens? When you walk through life and things are hard, you don't see that as a problem or negative. When you follow Jesus and things get tough, you realize, you know what, that's just what it means to follow Jesus. When you follow Jesus and not all your prayers are answered the way you like, you realize God doesn't have that for me right now, or that's not His will for my life. Their faith was built on the wrong things. Their life, their fruit, betrayed who they were. And listen, this is not performance-based. I'm not saying that you do all the things to get to heaven. No. But people will know you by your fruit. And then God will know you by your heart. And so these people, they were saying, it's not worth it. It doesn't work. God doesn't show up for us. And so you know what they actually did? They're going to defect. They're going to switch sides. They're going to switch teams, if you will. And it says, and now we call the arrogant blessed. They're switching teams. They say, you know what? We're going to go to the other side because things are working out for them. We're going to hang out with the arrogant because they seem to be blessed. The evildoers, I mean, they're prospering. We're going to be with the evildoers. And you know what? It doesn't really matter anyway because they put God to the test and they escape. God doesn't even do anything about it. They said, this faith life doesn't work, so we're going to join the other side. We're going to join the evildoers, those who don't love God, because they have it all. And they seem to mock God and put God to the test, and God doesn't do anything about it. So what does it matter? These people were faithless. But the reality is that God would deal with them, and He will. But hold that in your mind for a moment, because God's going to allow us to see the other group of people. He says, then there were those who feared the Lord, and they spoke with one another. So they weren't all evil in Malachi's day. They weren't all wicked. They weren't all lost. They weren't all utterly sinful. There were some who, there was a group of people, a remnant, if you will. There were some that followed God. They feared God. They loved Him. Their awe and respect was for God. They treasured God. There were people in the midst that said, you know, everybody else said, it doesn't matter if you follow God. And there were a group of people that said, no, we're going to follow him. No matter what. It's like that in today's world where people will, again, so many said, it doesn't matter. But there are always a group of people. There's always some who say, no, I'm still going to follow. I'm still going to love God. I'm still going to serve God. And it says this, that God paid attention and heard them. God listened. God heard them. And I want you to think about this for a minute. Because sometimes in this life, we don't always know if God hears us. It's true. Sometimes it does seem like, man, I'm serving God, I'm doing the things, and nothing's happening, just like the wicked said. I mean, that is very natural for all of us at some point in our life to feel that way. There's going to be a point in your life where you pray and your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Where's God? Why is he not here? But here's what the faithful do. They keep following. And it says that God will hear them. God does hear them. He pays attention to them. He listens. And this is what we need to remember, that even when things aren't happening the way that you think, God hears you. God's with you. God's for you. God sees you. You're not lost in the wilderness all alone. You're not in the dark by yourself. God is there. He's with you. And sometimes part of his purpose and plan is not to yank you out of the darkness, it's to walk you through the darkness. Because sometimes the only things that you can learn, you have to get through the darkness to learn it. And to yank us out of it would hinder God's teaching. And so God listens. And so that's a reminder. If the wicked, if these other people, if they would have just kept after God, they would see the results. They would see God's faithfulness. But they couldn't wait. They wanted it now. They wanted it today. They wanted to see it in their time. Are you willing to wait for God to work? Now that's easy to say, hard to do, but it's true. Are we willing to let God do his work? And there's people that, again, they struggle with this. They struggle with waiting. They struggle with following God even when it gets hard. But we stay faithful. And God says, look, he heard them and remembered them, and there's going to be a book of remembrance that was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. He says, there's going to be a book. And in this book is written those who fear the Lord and lift up his name, people that follow me. It reminds me of the book of life. There's going to be a book that's written, and in that book is a name of everybody who loves God and fears God and worships God. And do you know what the number one way to fear and honor and worship God is? To put your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the key, right? Is that Jesus Christ, he came and lived on this earth, and he lived for us. He never sinned one time. He was perfect in every way. God in the flesh. He died on a cross for our sins to pay our penalty. He rose again 3 days later. And the Bible tells us if we put our faith in that Christ, if we put our faith in him, we will be saved. That's how we show ultimate respect for God, ultimate trust in God. We say, yes, I believe what your word says, and I believe that Jesus did all of that for me, and I trust you, God. I mean, there is nothing bigger in this life that you can put your trust in than to say, God, I trust you with eternity. I mean, this is our eternal condition that we are saying, God, I trust you with my soul. I trust you with everything. And that is those I believe ultimately are going to be those who know God for eternity, who are written in that book of remembrance, who lift up God. It's through Christ we stay faithful. But God will take care of all people. Because he said, there's going to be a book of remembrance. He goes, they shall be mine. And in the day I will take them as my treasured possession, like those I love, I care for. Remember, if you are in Christ, if we are in Christ, we are treasured by God. And God doesn't get rid of his treasures, does he? He holds them, he keeps them, he shields them. And he says, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. We will be shielded from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. We'll be shielded from that punishment that we deserve through the body and blood of Jesus. He says, then you'll see. Then you will see and know that there is a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, those who serve God and don't serve God. Sometimes we don't always see that distinction. Sometimes the wicked, the evil, the bad, the pretenders, the false, the fake, they seem to get ahead sometimes. Man, that guy who is pretty crude and crass, he gets the promotion. I mean, this lady over here, I mean, who doesn't care about God at all, her family seems to be perfect, and mine over here is struggling, and we wonder why. But there will be a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And on that day of judgment, when the wicked are separated from God forever and the righteous are with him, we'll know there is a distinction, and I'm going to follow, and I'm grateful I follow Jesus. We don't always see it. Imagine being one of the Christians in the early days. It's amazing, right? You have that Pentecost, and you have the Holy Spirit coming down, and I mean, thousands upon thousands of people are coming to faith. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, your life, your faith is just, wow, this has all come together. I'm believing in Jesus, and God's working in a mighty way. But then the persecution comes. And then all of a sudden there's people that are persecuting you because you believe in this Jesus who rose from the dead. And man, the persecution, it starts to get really hot. But then you look out and you see the disciples, and you see, I mean, they're the leaders, right? The apostles, you see them. And then there's others, the deacons and others that are faithful, and you see them. But then one day they carry out one of these leaders, Stephen. They put him in a hole. Sometimes they say they'd bury somebody halfway in a hole. And all of a sudden, these people are killing and stoning Stephen. I mean, imagine what you might have felt thinking, man, what's happening? I mean, everything's kind of falling apart now, and this is terrible. I mean, our leader is he's dead. or one of the leaders anyway, this person we trusted and admired, and yeah, maybe you see him in that moment, but imagine the fear. Well, what you didn't see, maybe you did see it, but didn't think much of it, because he was one of the bad guys. There was a man named Saul. All the garments and cloaks were laid down before him so the people could throw the rocks without being hindered by their clothes. And this Saul, he's a mean guy. I mean, he's the persecutor. He leaves this place, and now he's going to really hit hard the persecution of the Christians. Man, it's not working out. But then on that road to Damascus, to hunt down and to find out who these Christians are, Jesus meets Paul. Do you remember what he said? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, God used that persecution, I believe even beginning right there with Stephen, God used that persecution of the Christians in Paul's life to draw him to Jesus. That's what those people didn't see when Stephen was getting stoned or the persecutors were coming. They didn't see that God was moving in a secret way. They could never have seen that God was using these terrible things to draw in Saul, who would become Paul. God was using the wickedness of these people, these men, to raise up Paul, who would be the great champion of the faith around the world. You see, we stay faithful even when it doesn't make sense. Because when things fall apart, we don't know what God is building with the rubble, do we? When everything is crashing down, you say, God, what are you doing? And we don't always see it, but are we going to be the faithful or the faithless? Who are you? Are you the faithful? Or are you the faithless? And perhaps if you ask this question even to the people in Malachi's day, or even ask people today, you say, Well, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Are you faithful? Oh, yeah, I go to church. Well, do your words reflect Christ? Do your words and your actions? Well, you know, most of the time. Well, do you keep your temper in check? Do you blow the fuse all the time? Well, sometimes I get mad. People are hard, you know. Do you give sacrificially? Oh, I give. Oh, no, I didn't ask that. Do you give till it hurts? Well, do you read the Bible? Well, you know, when I get a chance, I'm busy. Oh, you weren't so busy to scroll on your own phone for 2 hours last night, were you? Do you love your neighbor? Oh, they're annoying. You see, so often our actions don't reflect what we say, we believe. There are so many people who say, oh yeah, I believe, but yet their lives and their actions betray the truth. Now, it doesn't matter eternally if you fool me. I mean, you could fool me. I could think, and I could fool you. That's reality, right? We could fool each other. And that doesn't really matter for eternity. I mean, you could think, wow, he believes because he's a pastor. Guess what? There's probably many a pastor in the world that don't really believe, sadly. And I could say, man, they must believe because they're here all the time and they do all the things. Listen, we can fool each other, but we can't fool God. And one day he says, listen, I'm going to separate the righteous and the wicked. I'm going to make that separation. And listen, God knows your heart. And the question that I have that you have to ask yourself is, do you truly believe in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Him? But with that faith, have you given Him your life? Have you made Him the Lord of your life? I mean, I'm not talking about lip service. I'm not saying, yes, I believe. I'm saying, have you truly committed your life to Jesus? Is your life His? You see, that's what matters. And that is what one day God is going to, He's going to make that judgment. Now you're saying, Pastor, are you saying that we can't know for sure? Oh no, we can know for sure. Because if we truly put our faith in Christ and follow Him, we know. But I'm afraid there's many who have only said that they've done that. Because your fruit doesn't lie. Where are you at? Again, it doesn't matter if you fool me for eternity, but it matters if you, for eternity, if you try to fool God, but you can't. They said, it's not worth it to follow God. It is worth it. It's worth it when it gets hard. It's worth it when it gets difficult. It's worth it because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. Do you believe? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. But Lord, I ask this morning that You would just allow us for a moment, just for a few moments, to really consider our hearts. For a few moments to really just evaluate. And may we, for one, Father, may we remember and evaluate when we came to Christ. So will You just call to remembrance in our minds our salvation when we met Jesus, when we followed Jesus, and may You just put that in our hearts. But then, Father, may we evaluate honestly and ask ourselves, do I really believe? Or have I only pretended? And God, that's between You and each individual. And Lord, I pray that You would work on hearts and You would allow each person to really truly evaluate where they are. And Father, may You bring conviction. May You work and move in hearts that need to be worked on. And my prayer is that if there's anybody, Lord, that isn't certain, may they come today to know for sure. But Lord, there's so many others of us who, Lord, we're walking the Christian life, we are following You, but man, sometimes it seems like the wicked seem to get ahead. And we're struggling. So God, may You give us a sense of peace, knowing that no matter what, we can trust You. And it may not all make sense this side of heaven, but You will work for our good. So may we live this life with a life of trust and faith, with the knowledge of knowing that You are in control. So may this be a faith-building moment. As we say, no, we're going to be one of the faithful, not the faithless. May You move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.